In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Bible study tonight. Thank you for your spirit that is making us eager to come for the Bible study. Thank you for your children, our dear brothers and sisters, as they have come. I pray that nobody will be here today in vain, in Jesus' name. We thank you for all our young people, our students, our youth, teenagers, who have come to study the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, because you've given them the interest to love you and to desire you and to study the Word, even at their young age. I pray, O Lord, this Word will profit every one of these young people in Jesus' name. You bless all families because of the Word. And you bless all the members of the church because of this Word. All those who are linked with us in various places, bless everyone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much. God bless you. Once again, I welcome you to the Bible study tonight. In Jesus' name. I must tell you, I'm so happy that you are here. And I think you're happy I'm here too. Say you're happy, Pastor, you are here. God bless everyone. All right, put your hands together for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, for those who are just joining us for the first time, here is our Bible study. Here is our Bible school. Here is our theological center, where we go into the Word of God, and we dig deep into the Word of God. And then from the well of the water of life and the river that the Lord is giving us every time, we're drinking out of this fountain of life. That's why you find us alive. That's why we're happy. And that's why the Lord is preparing us for His kingdom. As He is preparing us, you're just joining us today, He will prepare you with us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 25 is what we're studying today. I understand, you know, when people are making announcements, you know, many places they say we're studying the Word of God in a very systematic way. And then some people say, they forgot we've finished the book of Revelation. They say we're now in the book of Revelation. Thank you very much. Everything is Revelation. Whether you're in Matthew chapter 25 or you're in Philippians chapter 3, it's Revelation of God. So we are in for Revelation. Praise the Lord. But you see, at this time, we're going through a series of studies. I'm going to do this for some time before I get into a particular book. And that's all right, because you are gaining a lot. Are you gaining a lot?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, we're looking at it from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, the whoremongers and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That's what we're looking at today. And as we look at verse 1, it tells you what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven. as you look at what's seen inside the story itself, inside the parable itself, is talking about the possibility of missing the opportunity to go with the Lord when he comes, and the danger of missing that opportunity of going with the Lord when he comes. Is coming again. And he said that over and over again. He came the first time. He came the first time for redemption. He'll come the second time for reigning. Number one, coming for the first time. He came for our redemption. So that all those of us, part of humanity, that have been in sin, because he came the first time and he shed his blood for our sins, we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be redeemed and be saved. The first time, redemption. And then the second time is coming to reign. And he said that over and over. And he said, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. And when he comes again, he wants us to be ready. That's why you find in the final verse of this parable, watch ye therefore, get ready. For ye know not, neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. The Lord Jesus Christ stage on showing us the kingdom of heaven and the necessity of being ready for that kingdom of heaven. Actually, since he started his ministry in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Since that time, he's been talking about the kingdom. Look at this. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very near at the door. The Lord is coming soon. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. To get in, repent. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, he told the people, yes, the kingdom is at hand, but it is not automatic. For everybody going to the synagogue, for everybody going to the temple, for everybody being religious, it's not automatic that we'll get to the kingdom of heaven, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the consistency of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's saying, it's not everyone that is saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Doing the will of God, the will of God in heaven. That's what it will take to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 8, I'm reading to you from verse 11. In chapter 8, verse 11, I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It's not telling us something. This kingdom of heaven is talking about is not here. It's where Abraham is now. It's where Isaac is now. It's where Jacob is now. They have died. They have left this world, but they're still alive in the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, you will see many people coming from the east and from the west, from different parts of the world. They will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was saying that some of those Israelites, in fact many of them, because they were not yielding fully to the Lord, they will not be in that kingdom. If you are to be in that kingdom, what are you going to do? Chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is telling us, there will be the high and the low, the great and the small. And then the first and the last, there'll be the least, even in the kingdom. Because when we get to the kingdom, our rewards will be very, very different from one another. And therefore there will be those who will be least in the kingdom. They will still be greater than John. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's telling us that there are some things we need to get rid of in our lives. And they will do violence to those things, habits that attach themselves to us. And it appears that the habits will not go by just saying, "Oh Lord, help me," or by sleeping and praying, praying and sleeping, as if we didn't understand what we are praying for. That will do violence to those bad habits. They will leave our lives before we can get into the kingdom of heaven. And then he tells us in chapter 18 of Matthew, Matthew chapter 18, reading from verse 2 and verse 3. "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted." He's telling us now, you need an experience, a change, a transformation, a conversion. You cannot remain the natural man you are and get to the kingdom. There must be a transformation, a change, a conversion. "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And there were some people that felt they were too old to change. And those people that felt they were too old to change, unfortunately for them, they'll not be able to enter. Look at Matthew chapter 23 verse 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, "for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." There are some people that seem to stand at the gate. Sinners want to come out of the world and come into the kingdom, but they're religious. Some of them are preachers. Some of them are religious leaders. They do not go into the kingdom of God themselves. They don't want to be born again. They're too old to get born again. Their tradition of religion is so much on their hearts. They don't want to drop that tradition and then come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. And their bad habits have become a kind of clothes on them that nobody can put off. And they don't want to put on the clothes of righteousness. They do not get to the kingdom of heaven. And they hinder other people by their lifestyle, by their tradition, by their behavior, by their habits, and by the things they say. They hinder other people from getting to the kingdom of heaven. And so we understand Jesus Christ was talking about the kingdom. After then leaving all the people outside, he comes to the people inside the church. And then he tells us something. He says the people inside the church, they are divided into two groups. And he says one group will be referred to as wise virgins. And then the other group will be referred to as the foolish virgins. And both of them will call Jesus their Lord. The wise virgins, they're waiting for the bridegroom. And the foolish virgins are also waiting for the bridegroom. You see, all these 10 virgins we're talking about, these are people that knew that the Lord was coming. And they believed in the coming of the Lord. They actually were expecting him to come. That's why all the 10 took their lamps. Every one of them had lamps. And I'll explain that to you later. They had something that identified them with the Lord. And they were expecting the coming of the Lord. But some were wise, and the others were not wise. Can I tell you, those of you that have just come to the church, you have just come to give it, you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're happy, you're a child of God, and then you come to our church. As you come to our church, we welcome you. But let me send a note of warning. We are not all at the same spiritual level. You come into the church, there are wise virgins among us. And I'm sorry to tell you, there are foolish virgins among us too. Don't just copy everybody. I see this one. That's a brother. That's a brother. That's a virgin. That's a virgin. Be careful. Some are wise and some are foolish. And don't say, I will do as he's doing. Do you know whether it's wise or foolish? Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't copy anybody. You might be tending towards the side of the foolish virgin. Be very careful. Not only that, you see, all these people separated themselves from society. And they came waiting for the bridegroom. Not only that, they knew. And they addressed him as Lord. Even those foolish virgins, after they had gone, and then the door was shut, they came back saying, Lord, Lord. That somebody is calling Lord, don't let that fool you, don't let that deceive you. That somebody appears to be praying, and he says, Jesus. And he says, Lord, don't let that deceive you. That somebody has a sticker on his car, has a sticker on the door of his house. Jesus, my Lord. Don't let the sticker deceive you, because Jesus Christ himself has said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. These ones came back, they said, Lord, Lord. And he said, from where are you? I don't know you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not only that, they loved and longed for the return of the Lord. Isn't that where they left everything aside? And they were waiting eagerly, expectantly, hopefully, for the coming of the Lord. And they made some preparations. They all had their lands. Only that the people that were foolish, they didn't make adequate enough preparation. And he said, this is enough. This is enough. The Holy Spirit convicting them, try more, pray more. Have a deeper experience with the Lord. This is enough. I don't want to be over religious. I don't want to be over righteous. I don't want to carry my religion too far. Once again, those who have just come to the church as to learn the word of God, and you're looking at the standard of the word of God, how to live, what to do, how to study the word of God, how to pray, how to relate with one another as Christians, and then you are consecrating yourself. There may be some people that will come to you and say, what's the matter with you? You look too serious. You look too prayerful. And you look too dedicated. We have been here before you. And we too were children of God. And we too were waiting for the coming of the Lord. Why do you look so serious and so sober? Don't listen to them. Because you understand that there are people who are foolish virgins. And they will say, this one I've done is enough. And how far I've gone, that's enough. The preparation I've made, that's enough. And they do not want to go far enough to be able to get ready when the Lord shall come. Now, all of them waited. They did not return home during the period of delay. You know, there are people that actually, they don't backslide and run away from the church. And many times when we are praying, we don't pray for these foolish virgins. They are there, but they are not ready. They show up every Bible study, but they're not ready. They show up at every revival session, but they're not ready. They show up every service on Sunday, but they're not ready. Our hearts go to the people that have gone out, the people that are totally backslidden. They're no more in the church, and we're crying, and we're praying for them. Why don't you also pray for those foolish virgins? They're cold, they're lethargic, they're lukewarm, they're not ready, they're not even interested in spiritual things. Somebody has been in the church for the past 12 years and will not even be a house fellowship leader, and has never attended any workers' retreat, and is not interested in going deep in the things of the Lord, and he never misses Monday Bible study, he never misses Thursday revival hour, he never misses a Sunday worship, he never misses anything, except that if we say, are you doing anything for the Lord? Oh, he says no. What's the matter? Well, nothing really. I just feel that not everybody will be working for the Lord. Not everybody will be working for the Lord. 12 years in the church, 50 years in the church, and there's no desire in the heart to be ready and to do something for the Lord. You see, they were all waiting, but not all of them were ready. They desire to meet the Lord at all costs. And yet, those who are not ready, when the Lord came, they were left far behind. I pray you'll be ready in Jesus' name. We're going to look at this passage, this Bible in detail. I'm going to divide to three parts. Number one, sanctified virgins ready for Christ's return. Number two, short-sighted virgins rejected at Christ's return. Number three, soul-winning and vigilance rewarded at Christ's return. Let's come back to number one. It says, sanctified virgins ready for Christ's return. I come back to you. Matthew chapter 25. Virgins that got ready. Wise virgins they are. In verse 2. And five of them were wise. And five were foolish. Five of them were wise. These are referred to as virgins. How do you really describe these people? So that you will know whether you are a virgin or not, wise virgin or not. I'm talking about in the spiritual sense. In the spiritual sense, you are a man, wise virgin. You are a woman, wise virgin. You are a boy, you can be wise virgin. You are a girl, you can be wise virgin. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. In their mouths there was no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, as you look at these two verses, it will help you to understand who a virgin is in the sense of Scripture. Let's take them one by one. Number one, they are called virgins. Look at that verse 4. For they are virgins. They are virgins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you. I have betrothed you. I have given you in marriage to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. As a chaste virgin to Christ. When we talk about being chaste, that talks about chastity. That talks about purity. Who are the virgins? The people who are saved and cleansed. Not only that, they have chastity, they have purity, they have holiness. That's one. Come back to Revelation chapter 14 verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. Who are these virgins? Number two, those who are not defiled. Not defiled. How would you understand that? In Psalm 119, Psalm 119. Remember, the virgins we're talking about, these ones that were ready, they were not defiled, undefiled. In Psalm 119 from verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way, in the law of the Lord. These are people who are walking through life. And the debt of the world, the corruption of the world, the bribery of the world, and all the bad things in the world do not attach themselves unto them. They are kept clean and kept holy by the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are these undefiled people in the way, because they walk in the law of the Lord. What are the things that defile people that these virgins did not have? Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We're looking at it from verse 21. From verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Who are virgins? Virgins are those who are not defiled. And what are they not defiled with? You see, these people that were ready, that's what they did. They looked at their lives. And anything defiling, they presented that before the Lord. They became cleansed. They became purified. And what are they? Look at them one by one. Evil thoughts. You see, thoughts are the foundations of action. You think about it before you do it. You think about it before you perform it. And evil thoughts will lead to evil action. And so, while the evil thoughts are coming, they went to the fountain of the blood of the Lamb. And they were cleansed from the evil thoughts, adulteries. A man leaving his own wife and going to another man's wife. All that they said no. Because we want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Fornication. And that is a man not married, a lady not married, they messing up together. Fornication. And then murders. Whether they kill with the tongue, or they kill with traditional medicine, or they kill with drugs, or they kill with sleeping tablet, or they kill with knife, or they kill with gun, they say no. Because that will bring blood on you. And once your life is changed with blood, the blood of an unborn baby, or the blood of a newborn baby, or the blood of an adult, you become defiled. You will not be a wise virgin. Because the virgins are those who are not defiled or thefts. Whether you are stealing, you know, in a local way, just at the bus stop, and you are picking pockets, that will defile you. Or you are in the office and you are stealing their bureau, or you are stealing their paper, or you are stealing their stationery, or you are stealing their money, or you are stealing the salary of the ghost worker. The worker that is there on paper but really is not there, you are collecting the money. That's a thief. And then if you are doing that, that will defile you. Or you are stealing from God. That the money is there. And you happen to be a pastor. And then the members of the church, they faithfully give their money. And instead of allowing the money to go to the account section of the church, then as a pastor, as a leader, or whatever a worker, then you put your hands there, and the members of the church do not know. You are a thief. And those things, they defile us. And if it's not defiling you, then you'll not be ready. Or covetousness, or it is wickedness, or deceit, deceiving one another. Maybe you want to get married at all costs, and you have got a wife somewhere. And then you come over here, you say, well, I'm still a bachelor, I'm free. Or maybe you're a lady, you have married somewhere. And then you deceive the young man, and then you get married. It's only after about 2-3 years of marriage, the man now discovers that you were married before. You see, all those things will defile you. And you may want to go your way through and try to get married with deception. But you will miss the coming of the Lord because you are not a wise virgin. And here it says, also, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, pride. And you know pride, we've talked about it before, being haughty, being high-minded, looking down at everybody else. And then you are all in all, nobody can talk to you. You are incorrigible because of your pride or foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Come back to Revelation chapter 14. In Revelation chapter 14, in verse 4, it says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Another thing about the wise virgins, they follow the Lamb. You want to find out how can you be a wise virgin? Number one, a chaste virgin, having chastity, having purity. Number two, you are not defiled with any of those things we have read in the Bible that defiles people. Number three, you follow the Lord, you follow the Lamb. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading to you there from verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, that is, all those other things I read to you, evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, run away from them, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Who are the wise virgins? The wise virgins are the people that follow the lifestyle of Christ, and they are following after righteousness, they are following after godliness, they are following after faith, they are following after the way of love. When you want to do something to, you know, you want to do something to your wife, you ask yourself, will that be a way of love? Would I be following the Lord? If Jesus Christ were to be with this woman, not as husband, but just to be with her, as a savior that she can see in the physical, will Jesus do this to her? Follow Christ. You as a wife, if Jesus were to be with your husband as shepherd, seeing him face to face physically, will Jesus do this to this man? Follow Jesus. And then as friends in the church, or even as neighbors, you as a Christian with other people in your community, whatever you are going to do, ask yourself, if Jesus here, Christ were here in the physical, naturally, will Jesus do like this to this co-tenant or to this neighbor? Follow Jesus. Whatever you know Jesus will not do, you will not do, because you want to follow Jesus. Those are virgins. That's the description of the people that are virgins. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. You want to be ready for the coming of the Lord? Flee youthful lusts. Youthful lust. Don't wait. You know, some people will say, the church will not see me. Well, the church will not see everybody. And the church, even in those other days, did not see everybody. James did not know that Judas Iscariot was planning and plotting to betray Jesus Christ. The church did not see him. And John, the beloved, did not know that Judas was going to betray Jesus. They didn't see him. Even Peter did not know. None of the church members knew that Judas Iscariot was doing evil. But Jesus knew. If we don't know, Jesus knows. Flee all those things. Whether people will see you or they will not see you, you want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. In verse 22, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Come back to Revelation chapter 14. There in verse 4, these were redeemed from among men. Another thing we see about these virgins, number one, they were chaste virgins. Number two, they were not defiled. Number three, they followed the Lamb. Now number four, they were redeemed. Redeemed. And as you are talking, you are thinking, but just when you just read that parable, there are wise virgins, there are foolish virgins. Who are these wise virgins? How do you become a wise virgin? By looking at the details of these virgins and then coming to be like them. Number four now, they were redeemed. What does that mean? In Psalm 130. Psalm 130, I'm reading from verse 8. In Psalm 130 verse 8, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Every form of iniquity, the Lord redeems us. In Titus chapter 2, these are the virgins. Titus chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's what it takes. These were the redeemed of the Lord. That is the wise virgins. The people that were ready for the coming of the Lord, he shall redeem us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Number five, they were the first fruits unto God. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, it says, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That is, these people that are the wise virgins, they are also referred to as the first fruits. What does that mean? First fruits. First fruits. Look at Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, reading from verse 16. Romans 11, verse 16. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the roots be holy, so are the branches. The first fruits, actually that means the people that take part in the rapture. Because they'll be the first people to go with the Lord. And then after the great tribulation, all those who die during the great tribulation and they die in the faith, afterward they'll be raised up from the dead and they will go with the Lord. But the people that go in first, they are the first fruit of the atonement of Christ. They are the first produce and the first cause that came out of the harvest of the earth that Jesus will present before the Father. And he says, the first fruits be holy. The holiness is what describes those virgins, the first fruits, holy unto the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. You see, when we're talking about these wise virgins, the explanation is very clear. They are also called the first fruits. And these first fruits, they are holiness unto the Lord. You remember when we started, number one, chaste virgin. Number two, undefiled. Number three, they follow the Lamb. Number four, they are redeemed. Number five, they are the first fruits. Number six, you come to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. And in their mouth was no guile. That's another qualification of these wise virgins, that in their mouth there was no guile. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verses 21 and 22. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You'll be like Jesus Christ. No lie out of your mouth. No deception out of your mouth. And there's no guile out of your mouth. There is no hypocrisy in action. There's no hypocrisy in utterance. No hypocrisy in action. No hypocrisy in utterance. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. His lips that they speak no guile. These are the people that the Lord himself refers to as the virgins, the people that will be ready for the coming of the Lord. And then number seven, they are without fault before the throne. They are without fault before the throne. And that's why, as a child of God, you are praying to the Lord every time that the Lord will cleanse you from all your secret faults. In Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I'm reading from verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Those are people that want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. You are telling the Lord every time, is there something I don't know? Is there something I'm overlooking? Is there a fault that will hinder me from the second coming of the Lord, from being able to make it at the time of the rapture, that I am ignorant of? Cleanse me from my secret fault. It is those who pray like that that will experience Jude verse 24. Jude verse 24. Here he tells us, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able to present you without fault, faultless, before the throne of God and before the presence of God with exceeding joy. These are the wise virgins. As you see, as we look at the word of God, it describes very clearly, number one, they are chaste. Number two, they are undefiled. Number three, they follow the Lord. Number four, they are redeemed. Number five, they are the first fruits and they are holy. Number six, there's no guile in their mouth. Number seven, they are without fault in the presence of the Lord. And this is what it takes for us to actually be ready. But you see, that's what the Lord does for us. As you come to the Lord, he purifies you and sanctifies you to make you ready for the coming of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 27, that he might present ye to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. These are the people actually that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is coming for. And you see, number one, they are saved from sin. Number one, these virgins, wise virgins, they are saved from sin. Number two, they are separated from the world and separated unto the Lord. Separated from the world and separated unto the Lord. Number three, they are self-denying, deny self. And they live a self-denying life. Whether you are Christian or you're unbeliever, there are some suggestions that will come to your mind. Do this. You don't just jump up and do it. There are many ideas that will come to your mind. Go in this direction, go in that direction. You say, no, let me look at it. If that thing is contrary to the word of God, contrary to the mind of Christ, contrary to the spirit of God, you say, no. Your flesh will say, but that thing, you will enjoy it. No, I'm going to deny self, so I don't fall into defilement, so I can be ready for the coming of the Lord. Number one, you are saved. Number two, you are separated from the world and separated unto the Lord. Number three, you live a self-denying life. Number four, you are sanctified. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present you to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkles or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. Number five, you must be engaged in soul winning. Soul winning. You are telling other people, the Lord is coming, let's get ready. The Lord is coming, you must be born again. The Lord is coming, don't continue like that in that bad way. The Lord is coming, my children, I want all of us to be with the Lord when he comes. The Lord is coming, my husband, I don't want to get to heaven alone without you. I want our fellowship to continue in heaven. You are witnessing to your neighbors, you are witnessing to your relatives. Number six, you must be spirit controlled. You are not controlled by the human spirit, you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. You are not controlled by the hardened spirit of man, haughty spirit of man. You see, there are people, when you see them, even their look, they are small. I mean, these people, they are poor. Sometimes they are illiterate. Sometimes they don't even have as much as you have. But even though they are little and poor, they are so proud. And they act on the basis of the haughty, proud, high-minded spirit, not on the basis of the Holy Spirit. And then there are other people, they act on the basis of harsh spirit. It just has them a little question. And it's like you have been fighting for years, as if you are enemies. And you say, my brother, can I sit here by your side? And the way they answer you, harsh. Or they want to talk to you, harsh. Or they want to even tell you something good. And they want to even help you. They say, that's my tone. That's the way I talk. If you don't understand, that's your business. No, if you want to be ready for the coming of the Lord, the Holy Spirit must control you, not your human spirit, not a haughty spirit, not a harsh spirit. And so they must be spirit controlled. Number seven, they must be steadfast Christians. That you are walking with the Lord. We don't know when the Lord will come. And therefore, you don't want to look back. You don't want to backslide. You want to be steady with the Lord. I pray you will make it in Jesus' name. I come to point number two. Short-sighted virgins rejected at Christ's return. Let's come to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. These were the people that were not ready. I pray you will be ready. In Matthew chapter 25, we're reading from verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Look up here, brothers and sisters. How do you see these people? The people that appear to have what it takes. But there was something missing out. Who are those people? And let me explain to you. Number one, faith without works. You see, what does it take to actually go? The Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth? They have the Lamb, they have faith, but there's no works, no good works to back it up. And he said, I believe. You believe? I believe. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible. Faith, but there's no works. In James chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 17. Even so faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. They had lamps, they had no oil. Many people have faith, there was no good work. In verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see, there are some virgins, they say, I believe in the Lord. Isn't that when you are asking them, what do you believe? I believe Jesus. I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I have faith. Then you accept them. You say, okay, he has believed, let him come in. But what are the good works that will show that actually the faith is genuine? Another thing, there are people that have religion without righteousness. Religion without righteousness. They're very eager. They come to church. They're very eager. They read the Bible. They're very eager. They pay their tithes. And they do a lot of things that will show that they have religion, but it is religion without righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, I mean in verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Religion without righteousness. And look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 5. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness, they have the Lamb. They have the Lamb, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. They have religion, but there's no righteousness. If you look at them, look at their outward dressing, they look like one of us. And look at, you know, the way they sing, they look like one of us. And look at the things they do, they look like one of us. It is when you go nearer to them, and then you examine their lives, then you will see this man, this woman has religion, it doesn't have righteousness. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. They profess that they know God, they have religion, but they don't have righteousness. You see, the people that are foolish virgins, outwardly, it will look like they are getting ready for the coming of the Lord. After all, they have their own lamps, but they take no oil with them. They profess that they know God, but in words they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. I told you, number one, faith without works. Number two, religion without righteousness. Number three, repentance without restitution. Repentance without restitution. Have you repented? Yes, I've repented. Where's the evidence? I don't know, but I've repented. I turned away from my sin. Which sin did you turn away from? All the things you stole, have you turned away from stealing? The shirt you stole, you said you have repented, you're still wearing the shirt. And this wrong certificate you are using in your place of work, you said you have repented, you are still collecting salary on the basis of that stolen certificate. Where's the repentance? Or you say that you are now born again, that you have repented, and you are still in that adulterous home, and you are still with that man where you are the third wife, or you are still with that woman that is not your first wife. Where is the repentance? Repentance without restitution. It will not help you to be ready. That's been a foolish virgin. You have the lamp and there is no oil. Don't you see in the Bible reading that we read over here in Lagos State at this time? That's in Genesis chapter 20. Let me read it to you again. Genesis chapter 20 verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country. and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech the king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Look up here, brothers and sisters. If I didn't tell you, God will tell you. If he wants you to get ready for the rapture, if you need to have a pastor that will tell you about restitution, the Lord will tell you. Yes, your pastor will be judged by God if he doesn't tell you the truth. Son of man, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. If you do not give them the word from me, they will die in their sin. But their blood will I require out of your hand. And so, if I didn't preach it to you, restitution, if you are sincere, and if you are innocent, and if you want to get to heaven, if you want to be a wise virgin, the Lord will preach it to you. He can tell you in his song. He can tell you in your mind. He can tell you reading the Bible. He can teach you in singing. He can teach you even in the newspaper. Don't you see? All those people that are stealing money, then they said the SEC should run after them and examine them one by one and expose them. And when they see that these are the money they are taking from the treasury, they tell them, cough it out, bring it out. That's restitution. He will tell you in the newspapers. All those, they examine those governors, and they examine those public officers, and any money they have taken, which they shouldn't have taken, after they have examined them, and then they see that this is what they are taking, the law of the land will even preach restitution to them, and say, bring out that money. They will look into their account. They will draw the money from their account. That's restitution. The institutions of higher learning, if you don't do the institution, they'll preach it to you. And before you go for the exam, they will begin to examine the certificates, whether the certificates are right or not. And when they discover that this student is there, it's false certificate, this one is there, it's a false, the cutoff mark, and everything, they call all of them, they send them out. What is that? They are doing the restitution for them. If they will not do it voluntarily, they will tell them, do the restitution. Don't you know, even in our families, they teach us restitution. A man is messing up with another woman, somebody's wife. And then the husband of that woman is suspecting that these people, they are not living right. Looks like my wife is messing up with somebody. And then they'll call the family together. And as they call the family together, the husband will begin to give evidence that this man, this is the way it's moving with my wife, this one, this one. And at the end of the whole story, then somebody will come out, a leader, an elder in that family. And then we'll say, now, we're going to place curse on this woman if she does not confess. And if she does not confess and they place a curse on her, the curse will come on her. And sometimes, if she doesn't want the curse to come upon her, she'll say, I am sorry, beg my husband for me. And then, when she says, beg my husband for me, you know what they do in the village. The villagers will take her, it will say, okay, man, this is still your wife. You will forgive her, but you, wife, that messed up your life, go and bring cow, go and bring goat. Maybe they'll say five sheep or whatever, give to your husband. What is that? That's restitution. If I didn't tell you, they'll tell you in the newspapers. If I didn't tell you, you'll hear it over the radio. If I didn't tell you, the elders in the village, they will tell you that there's restitution. You see, this man, Abimelech, God came to tell him, because he had no pastor, because he had no Bible, because Deep and Life Bible Church had not been established at that time for him to go to Bible study, and for the Bible study leader or teacher to teach him, there was no satellite. And since he couldn't hear from satellite, I'll tell you in your dream. That's why God said, God came to Abimelech by night in a dream and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she Even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to torture. Now therefore restore the man his wife. That's restitution. God said it. And it wasn't law of Moses. Moses was not born yet. Restore the man his wife. And Abimelech did not wait for counseling when he woke up in the morning. He did not wait for another 1 week or 1 month or 3 months or 1 year. You people there, you know you ought to do restitution. You have been waiting for the pastor 1.5 years now. And you say, I'm waiting to see the pastor. Abimelech did not go to see anybody after he knew, I must do restitution. Because if you don't do it, you're a dead man. And the dead will not go. Those who are spiritually dead will not be ready. When the Lord shall come, you'll be a foolish virgin, so be left behind. He says, restore the man his wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. And thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou, and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and he told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. But you see, there are people that have repentance without restitution. And those people, they have lambs, they don't have oil. For them, they have the profession that they are children of God, but then they do not have the evidence that they are children of God. These foolish virgins, number one, they were short-sighted in perception. Short-sighted in perception. They did not perceive that they will be left behind because their oil was not enough. Number two, they were self-centered in pursuit. That is, they were self-centered, just thinking about themselves. Don't let anybody pray to me. I know enough. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. Don't let anybody drive me or push me. I don't like too much pushing. I will do it at the time I want to do it. They were self-centered in pursuit. Number three, they were slack in preparation. Slack in preparation. They didn't prepare adequately at the time they ought to prepare. Number four, they were slothful in prayer, lazy in prayer. And the thing, they knew where to get it. After all, when the wise virgins said, no, we cannot give you what we have, lest it be not sufficient for you and us. Go to the place they are selling. They went and they got something, and then they came back, but it was too late. They knew what to do, but they didn't do it in time. Number five, they were self-willed in personality. Self-willed in personality. Can you imagine anybody in our church here? I thank God the majority of us were following after the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. But you know, many times we overlook that quiet Matthew there. We overlook the quiet Philip there. We overlook the quiet Bartholomew there. We overlook all those quiet people. And even James, Peter, and John, sometimes we overlook them. And because of one Judas Iscariot, we think that everybody is bad. No, the majority of the people are good. And thank God for you. I said, thank God for you. But you know, sometimes when you have just one Judas Iscariot, if you are not careful, your mind or your eyes will be looking at only that one Judas Iscariot that is not getting ready. And maybe there are some few people there, they're too self-centered. And they're people of their own mind. And they're self-willed in personality. Why don't you look at these other brothers and sisters who tremble at the word of God, who obey the word of God, who say, I want to be ready. God brought me to a church like this to prepare me. I'm not going to be a foolish virgin. I will not be a foolish virgin. But you see these people, they were satisfied with our purity. They were satisfied. I'm all right the way I am. After all, I'm coming to the Bible study. After all, I'm worshiping the Lord. After all, what do they see me doing that is so terrible? I am all right. And they're not all right. In Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Have need of nothing. Satisfied. without purity. They've not got enough, and yet they're satisfied. It says, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You know, when I think about, those people that say, they're all right, they're satisfied. There's one man I remember. Look at him in Genesis chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. Are you there? In Genesis chapter 33, verse 9. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Esau said, I have enough. What do I need? I have enough. But you know that he missed it eventually, because as you read about him in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, this man said, I have enough, I have enough. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And yet he said, I have enough. Self-satisfied people. And yet they do not have what it takes when the Lord will come. Number 7, they were shut out from paradise. Shut out from the presence of the bridegroom. These were the foolish virgins. And I pray that we will not be foolish. You see, when it says they were foolish, and a lot of reasons why it says they were foolish. And look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, foolish virgins. And then as you look at these descriptions of the foolish, you'll be able to tell, are you a wise virgin? Are you a foolish virgin? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish virgin. Now, begin to think about all the things you have been hearing, what you are hearing today. How to get ready, how to get prepared. And the warnings the Lord has been giving you, have you been doing them? If you are hearing, but you are not doing, then you become a foolish virgin. It tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, reading from verse 15. It says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. He wants to go to the city of a great God, but he knows not how to go to the city. He doesn't know it will take salvation, it will take sanctification. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. He doesn't know. And yet he says, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Look at all these foolish virgins, look at their labor. They left their city. They came out. They mixed with the wise virgin. They waited, they slumbered and slept. They heard the bridegroom coming, they woke up. Alas, they were not ready. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. They do not know how to go into the city. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Your oil is not enough. Leave me alone, I'm all right. You may be disappointed at the final hour. I'm all right. Do your own, let me do my own. Because it says here that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Chapter 14 of Proverbs, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make mockery of sin. They are doing something that is sinful. My friend, this thing will hinder you from getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Don't tell me about God. What do you know about God that I don't know? God is not so hard. God is not a tyrant. God is not so demanding. You mean because of a little sin, I will be disqualified? Go and sit down. They make a mock at sin. They're practicing evil, and when you want them, they just lap it over. They say it's not a serious matter at all. Those are the foolish virgins. We're told in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, these people who don't get themselves ready. In Luke chapter 12, we're reading it from verse from verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. But God said, thou fool. God said, thou fool. You know, it was all just labor, just physical thing, just natural thing, just work, just extra time. You know, at the place of work, he's doing this and doing this and doing that. Get ready for heaven. I don't have time. I'm still young. I'm still young. Get ready for the rapture. I don't have time now. There's still time. When I've made it, I've built a house, I've bought a car, I've done this, and these I've made, you know, all these things I want to do, this business. When everything is set up, of course I will serve the Lord. And when I come back and serve it, you'll be surprised. All those of you that are running the race now, when I get ready and I begin to run, I'll run faster than you. But now I still want to make money. Thou fool, this night, your soul will be required of you. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The Lord is warning us that we will not be like this fool. I said you will not be like this fool. So that we'll be ready on that day in Jesus' name. Let's come back to Matthew chapter 25. Eventually, they were hurrying when it was too late to hurry. At the time they should have hurried, they didn't. We're told in verse 6, and at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Not so. Not so. What a great lesson we learn. You see, you as a child of God, you shouldn't play with anybody on your salvation. And they're saying, why don't you accompany me? We are friends. They say, I'm sorry. I have something to keep. I have something to guard. I have something to protect. If you feel that you are free to do it, that's your business between you and God. I am not free to do that. Others may, I cannot. I want to get to heaven. All this labor, see the persecution I've gone through, and see the suffering I have gone through, and see the pressure, and see the things I denied myself of. I know where I'm coming from, and I know what I've suffered. That's what you are saying. And because of that, friend, I'm your friend. I love you. But if it's to do that thing with you, I'm sorry, I cannot. Not so. You will not share what you have with them to the point that it will not be sufficient for you. It will not be sufficient for them. You know where they buy, and you know where they get it. Go and get your own. And while they went, then the bridegroom came, and the door was shut. Shut against them. I pray the door will not be shut against you. I'm coming to point number 3 now. Soul winning and vigilance rewarded at Christ's return. Soul winning and vigilance rewarded at Christ's return. The Lord has given us work to do. And we will do that work. In Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Reading from verse 13. And he called the 10 servants. And delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. Don't let the devil tell you that you are doing too much for God. Occupy till I come. Don't let the devil tell you you've done enough. Why don't you go and sit down? But just say, oh Lord, I'm going to keep on serving you. Occupy until I come. And when he comes, he will reward you. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. Daniel chapter 12. We're reading verse 3. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They that turn many to righteousness will shine. as the brightness of the stars forever and ever. I pray that will be your Lord. But you see that a subtopic says there is soul winning on the one hand, there's vigilance on the other hand. Come to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. See the conclusion of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, watch ye therefore. For ye know not, ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That watch, watch. W-A-T-C-H. Watch, W, your words. Because man will give account for every word he speaks on the day of judgment. A, watch your action. The things you do. Watch your words. Watch your action. T, watch your tongue. The things you say. The things coming out of your tongue. C, watch your character. H, watch your heart. Watch your heart. Watch your words, your action, your tongue, your character, your heart. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come. Again it says, watch. W, watch your will. Your will. That's where you determine what you are going to do. Watch your will. Watch your attitude. You see your attitude. Maybe you have some problems. What's your attitude during that problem? And if you watch your attitude, you will not fall. T, watch your thoughts. The thoughts. The things inside you. Some thoughts will come into you. Watch. That if they are negative thoughts, and those thoughts are telling you, forsake the Lord, this is too much, how is it you are going to, watch your thoughts. See, watch over your consecration. You have consecrated everything to the Lord at the time of trial, at the time of difficulty, the thoughts will come to get away from your consecration. Watch your consecration. H, watch your honesty. Your honesty. You see, at the time when there are difficulties, that's the time the devil will be saying, why are you so honest? Honest people don't make it in this kind of life. You are in your place of work, you are too honest, they will bypass you. Watch. Watch your will. Watch your attitude. Watch your thoughts. Watch your consecration. Watch your honesty. We're looking at Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, I'm reading verse 35. Watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. W, watch your areas of weakness. Areas of weakness, you know. There's no man that is so strong as Samson. That's an area of weakness. Watch over that area. There's no man as wise as Solomon. That's an area of weakness. Watch that weakness area. Watch your weakness. Then A, watch your affection. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Your affection will play on your area of weakness. If you're weak in the area of women, your affection will be tending towards that. If you're weak in the area of money, your affection will be turning towards that. If you are weak in the area of alcohol, your affection, your desire will be tending towards that. If you are weak in the area of indecision, your affection will be turning to things that you can't take a good decision on. You'll not be able to hold yourself. Watch your weakness and watch your affection and watch against talkativeness. Talkativeness. You know, there are people, that's the weakness of some people. They just talk and talk and talk and talk without any control. Until you begin to exaggerate. Until you begin to add unto it. Until you begin to do some things that are not right. Watch against talkativeness. And then see, watch your companionship. The people you move with. The people you're associating with. Because you see, those people can put pressure on you to do evil. Watch your companionship. Age, watch your habits. The things that develop little by little by little. And then eventually become a habit. We're looking at Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, we're looking at verse 37. Luke chapter 12 verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Again, he's telling us, watch. Number one, W, watch over your wife. You see, if we're going to make it at the rapture, hand in hand, you have come together. You don't want to say, well, she is an adult, let her do whatever she wants to do. Let her, you know, the people come and they say they are going out to a particular function. What kind of function? Ask your wife. You see her dressing up and she's going somewhere. Is she going to a place that will glorify God or not? Watch your wife. Eh? Watch your attendants and associates. And those maids that are, you know, at home with you, watch them. They can spoil your children. Those attendants, they are helping you to cook, they are helping you to carry this, they are helping you to clean up this. Watch those attendants and watch your associates in your company, because they can bring a blemish on you if you don't watch those attendants and associates. And then T, watch your temper. Your temper. You know, between husband and wife, then planes will begin to fly if you don't watch your temper. And then you begin to talk rough to the wife if you don't watch your temper. You begin to talk rough and nag to your husband if you don't watch your temper. When it says watch in our families, you watch your wife and you watch your attendance, you watch your temper. See, you watch your children. Your children go to school and then they delay, you will not come to the Bible study. Watch over them. You go to the church, your children will not come to church, and then they are playing football somewhere, they are browsing the internet somewhere. Watch your children, so that the whole family, the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, the children, they'll be able to get to heaven. Age, watch your husband. Watch your husband. I trust my husband. Well, thank God you trust your husband. Watch him all the same. Going somewhere, traveling up and down, all alone. And then the secretary is, you know, traveling with him. Watch your husband. Watch your wife. Watch your attendants. Watch your temper. Watch your children. Watch your husband. Watch your household. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm reading to you from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman or child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day come shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and not children and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and be sober. W, watch your work, the work you're doing. Otherwise, an enemy can come in and just destroy everything. The work you are doing in your profession, the work you are doing in the church, watch the work. Number A, watch your ambition. Your ambition. And look at your ambition. I want to be this, I want to be this, I want to be this. It's this kind of ambition that will take you away from the Lord. I am traveling because of my ambition. Is that ambition going to separate you from the Bible study? Will it separate you from the people of God? Will it separate you from our fellowship? Watch your ambition. Don't let your ambition ruin you and destroy your spiritual life. And see here, and you will also watch your time. How do you spend your time? The way you spend your time, watch over that time, and then your commission, your commitment. Watch it, and then watch the harvest. The harvest. The harvest of souls, which the Lord has committed into hands. And when the Lord comes, he'll not be asking about what salary were you receiving, and what promotion did you have in your place of work. He will ask you about the harvest of souls, and what you did in that harvest. And then now we're reading 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm looking at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. W, watch your weapon. Your weapon of warfare. You see, we're fighting a battle, and we're not fighting over against flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities and powers. And if there's anything the devil wants to do, he wants to take your weapons away. Watch your weapon, and then A, watch your armor. Put on the whole armor of God, your armor, the armor the Lord has given you, so you'll be able to overcome and haven't done all to stand. And then T, watch over those trials, the trials that come to you. And those trials, they are brought by demons, they are brought by devils, and it's so that the devil, you know, what he wants to do is to just make you backslide. Watch at the time of that trial, bring out your weapon and bring out your armor, and then watch against compromise. Watch against compromise. You know, at such a time when those trials come, and that's when you'll be giving excuses. After all, I will come back to the Lord. After all, I'm a human being. After all, who can face something like this and not talk bad? Who can face something like this and not do evil? Watch! And watch against compromise. H, watch against half-heartedness. When those problems start coming, then you become half-hearted, you become lukewarm, and then you are not as serious as you used to be, but the Lord will not allow you to backslide. And you will not backslide in Jesus' name. Revelation chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and the sea is shame. Blessed is he that watcheth. If there's anything we need to watch, watch our worship. Our worship. You know, as we come together in the church, and you are a worker in the church, you are a preacher in the church, you are a leader in the church, you are a pastor in the church, let's guard and protect and watch the worship. A, watch the anointing. See the anointing the Lord has given us in this church. That none of us, whether a child, a man, or a woman, will toy with that anointing. That none of us will ridicule that anointing. That because see the anointing that breaks the yoke, and see all the miracles that the Lord is doing. It's not just the pastor alone watching over that anointing. All of us as a church together. That whether it's our singing, or it's our comportment, or anything that we're doing, we're watching the worship. We are watching the anointing. We are watching over the truth. The truth the Lord has given us in this church. And the doctrine he has given us in this church. So watch over the truth. And then see. Watch over the church. Over the church. Paul the Apostle said, these 3 years I've been teaching you in tears. And there will be people that will come in. They will want to bring evil into the church and take disciples after them. Watch over the church. Age. Watch over the holiness that the Lord has given this church. The worship, the anointing, the truth, the church, the holiness that will watch over everything. And I'm praising God for you. I know that you're obedient children. And you are going to watch. And the Spirit of God will help you. And the grace of God will become more abundant in your life. I will be watching, you'll be watching. And we will be watching together. And when the Lord shall come, none of us here will be missing in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Pray that the Lord will help you. You'll be watching. You'll not be a foolish virgin. You'll be a wise virgin. The Lord will help you. I'm appealing to our overseers and our leaders, our district pastors, our district coordinators will take over now. And you lead the people of God in prayer according to all that we have learned today. You see all those points that were raised in the study. Lead the people of God. Let us really pray together. So that as we are ready here, you'll be ready over there. And if the trumpet shall sound at any time, the Lord will help you. You will not be missing on that day in Jesus' name.